a flat rectangular case of polished wood. Nightfall had blackened the soaring stained-glass windows of the cathedral. A blanket of new snow had muffled the usual hum of the Vienna evening rush. So quiet was the Stephansdom that the restorer would scarcely have been surprised to see a medieval sexton scurrying across the nave by torchlight. He climbed off the high scaffolding with the agility of a house cat and dropped silently onto the stone floor of the chapel. A knot of tourists had been watching him work for several minutes. As a rule, the restorer did not like spectators. Indeed, some days he shrouded the platform in a gray tarpaulin. Tonight's crowd dispersed as he pulled on a reefer coat and woolen watch cap. Softly, he bid them buonasera, instinctively recording each face in his mind, as permanently as if they were rendered with oil on canvas. An attractive German girl tried to engage him in conversation. She spoke to him in poor Italian. In rapid, Berlin-accented German, his mother had lived in Charlottenburg before the war, the restorer said he was late for an appointment and couldn't talk now. German girls made him uneasy. Reflexively, his eyes wandered over her, across her large, rounded breasts, up and down her long legs. She mistook his attention for flirting, tilted her head, smiled at him through a lock of flaxen hair, suggested a coffee in the café across the square. The restorer apologized and said he had to leave. "Besides," he said, looking up at the soaring nave, "this is Stephansdom, Fräulein, not a pickup bar." A moment later he passed through the entrance of the cathedral and struck out across the Stephansplatz. He was of medium height, well below 6 feet. His black hair was shot with gray at the temples. His nose was rather long and angular, with sharp edges across the bridge that left the suggestion it had been carved from wood. Full lips, cleft chin, cheekbones broad and square. There was a hint of the Russian steppes in his eyes, almond-shaped, unnaturally green, very quick. His vision was perfect, despite the demanding nature of his work. He had a confident walk, not an arrogant swagger or a march, but a crisp, purposeful stride that seemed to propel him effortlessly across the snowbound square. The box containing his paints and brushes was under his left arm, resting on the metal object that he wore habitually on his left hip. He walked along the Rotenturmstrasse, a broad pedestrian mall lined with bright shops and cafes, pausing before shop windows, peering at sparkling Mont Blanc pens and Rolex watches, even though he had no need for such things. He stopped at a snow-covered sausage stand, purchased a Käsewurst, dropped it into a rubbish bin 100 yards away without taking a bite. He entered a telephone booth, slipped a shilling into the coin slot, punched a random series of numbers on the keypad, all the while scanning the street and storefronts around him. A recorded voice informed him that he had made a dreadful mistake. The restorer replaced the receiver, collected his shilling from the coin tray, kept walking. His destination was a small Italian restaurant in the Jewish quarter. Before the Nazis, there had been nearly 200,000 Jews living in Vienna, and Jews had dominated the city's cultural and commercial life. Now there were just a few thousand, mainly from the East, and the so-called Jewish quarter was a strip of clothing stores, restaurants, and nightclubs clustered around the Judenplatz. Among Viennese, the district was known as the Bermuda Triangle, which the restorer found vaguely offensive. The restorer's wife and son were waiting for him, rear table facing the door just as he had taught her. The boy sat next to his mother, sucking strands of buttered spaghetti through rose-colored lips. He watched her for a moment, appraising her beauty the way he might assess a work of art, the technique, the structure, the composition. She had pale, olive-toned skin, oval brown eyes, and long black hair which was drawn back and lying across the front of one shoulder. He entered the restaurant. He kissed his son on the top of the head, chatted in Italian with the man behind the bar, sat down. His wife poured wine for him. "Not too much. I have to work tonight."
"The cathedral?"
He pulled down his lips, cocked his head slightly. "Are you packed?" he asked. She nodded, then looked at the television above the bar, air raid sirens over Tel Aviv, another Iraqi Scud missile streaking toward Israel. The citizens of Tel Aviv putting on gas masks and taking shelter. The shot changed. A tongue of fire